Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like a blind shed that finds a drawer in the squirrel twice a day. The New York Times wrote a good article. This is Wretched Radio. What you chuckling at?
I don't even know what you just said.
You know, the thing that we all say about, you know, it happens on occasion.
Occasion, yeah.
Yeah, like a clock is right twice.
Twice a day.
Twice a day.
That's right.
Is right twice a day. There we go. Right twice a day. Americans haven't found a satisfying alternative to religion. It's written by Lauren Jackson. She is not a believer. She's a former Mormon from Arkansas. Go ahead. You can just create that parody if you'd like to. Mormon from Arkansas. She walked away from her faith. And she's recognizing there's something missing. And I think it represents the zeitgeist. It also represents the feeling of our day. It represents what I think a lot of kids are going through these days. For instance, Will Graham, he'd be the grandson of Billy Graham. He was on the Sean Hannity program. And he was saying, based on his travels, he's seeing it on campus. They're looking for real relationships. They're spiritually hungry. And we've seen that before, haven't we? Furthermore, according to a new study by Barna's State of the Church, commitment to Jesus has risen sharply among young men, jumping 15 percentage points between 2019 and 2025. Those are Gen Zers who should be listening to Adam Tyson's podcast, Way of Manhood, which you can find wherever you do your podcasting stuff. 19 percentage point up. For millennials, there's something going on. Something's going now. Whether people are getting saved or not, we'll leave that to the Lord. But there seems to be a restlessness, and there should be, because people are out of sorts. Because when you are not focusing your life on the North Star, your direction, you're going to get lost, and you're going to end up in the Antarctic, and you're going to get frozen toes, and then they're going to have to take off your legs at the knee. And then you're going to get gangrene and die. What's going to happen if your life isn't guided by the North Star? UK research finds twice as many people making decisions for Jesus since the pandemic. This is the Changing Church. This was a research report published by Evangelical Alliance in the UK. Guess who is making up the big increase? Young men in particular are making professions of faith. Data showed average church attendance upsurging also 13 percentage points since January 2020. All that to say, these statistics back up what is palpable when you go to campuses. I'm telling you, you gotta go. Just see for yourself. And hey, you're gonna have an opportunity to do that. This isn't ready yet, but we're going to unleash this, I think, in July this year. We're going to give away a book I wrote on pornography because virtually every boy on campus is looking at this stuff. And I think that could be contributing to, I think, also this, it's not right. They look over the picket fence and they see a man and a woman being faithful to one another with kids running around. It's like, that looks nice. I'm going to go back to my XXX website and dabble in my smut all by myself. And I think that they're just, that's contributing to the weight of lostness, loneliness, anxiety. And so we're going to be giving away cards. We're not doing this now, but our desire is, it's got a QR code on it with what we think is a compelling message. Give it out to the boys. Give it out to the young men. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Might have conversations. Just here you go. Here you go. And by the way, you're going to think this is crazy. This is how transparent Gen Zs are. If you take one of these cards, which has the QR code to the book that I've written, and you give it to a kid and say, hey, is this something you struggle with? They're probably going to tell you the truth. Or they might downplay it a little bit, but I don't think they'll outright deny it. Like, hey, who do you think? They're just more willing to talk about this stuff. I think that's a bit of a generational thing, but I think it's also just a lostness thing. If you're an adult and you approach young people on campus earnestly, respectfully, interestedly, I'm telling you, they will respond to you. And I think all of these stats back that up. And I think this New York Times article, I think, did a bang-up job. Ow, I never thought, ow. New York Times article did a bang-up job revealing the restlessness that is caused by a lack of a North Star. She was an Arkansas Mormon. She left it all. And I spent my 20s worshiping at the altar of work, and in my free time, testing secular ideas for how to live well. I built a community. I volunteered. I cared for my nieces and nephews. These are all components of the Christian life. I pursued wellness. I paid for workout classes on Sunday morning, practiced mindfulness, went to therapy, visited saunas, subscribed to meditation apps. I tried book clubs and running clubs. I cobbled together moral instruction from books on philosophy. And whatever happened to move me on Instagram, here it comes. Nothing has felt quite like that chapel in Arkansas. Now, of course, we'd reject what is going on there because Mormon theology is aberrant. It is not within orthodoxy. But there is something about the fellowship with God being the center of it, even when it's the wrong God, that helps people feel right. Why? Because that's the way we were made. We were made to worship God. Now, you're not going to have the full enjoyment and satisfaction and purposefulness and completeness and shalom that believing in the only true and living God brings, but it's still, even with a false God, it brings about something that secularism cannot provide. It's because of the way that we're wired. Eternity is written on our hearts. God's laws, we've got a conscience that bears witness. Not only that, baked into our DNA is the knowledge that God exists. And so this article reveals, even when you're pursuing the wrong God, it still has benefits. How powerful is that? But she continues because I think it's helpful, illuminating. America's secularization was an immense social transformation. Yes, it was. Has it left us better off? People are unhappier than they've ever been, and the country is in an epidemic of loneliness. It is not just secularism that's to blame, but those without religious affiliation in particular rank lower on key metrics of well-being. Less connected, less spiritually at peace, less awe, less gratitude. If you happen to be a Gen Zer, could I encourage you, please, to stop visiting church, stop being a regular attender, join your church, and start filling your Rolodex. Sorry, that was dated. Start filling your phone. What is it called? The thing on your cell phone?
Contact list.
Your contact list with Christians. And I know your hesitation. They're not cool. You're right. They're not. We Christians, we're not as hip as the kids at school that do all kinds of things that feeds the flesh that the Bible prohibits. But they'll be better for you. They'll be better for you. And you'll have deeper relationships. And you will feel loved deeper than you will with secular friends. Because you were made to be in fellowship with those whose focus is the Lord. There'll be more profound relationships. All right, let me just put it in therapeutic terms. Your well-being will increase because you are living the way that God intended you to live. Reject be hanging out with the cool kids. Hang out with the Christian kids. They might be dorky, but they're better for you. Back to the article. The country seems to be revisiting the role of religion. Yep. Secularization is on pause in America. That's according at least to Pew. There seems to be more interest. We're seeing this, aren't we? Wes Huff, the Canadian apologist, was on the Andrew Schultz podcast. I think it's called Fractured or something like that. It was a group of comedians. It was really just fascinating to watch. 3 hours long, if you got the time. I watched about 15, 20 minutes of it. And it was intriguing to see these guys, none of them professing to be followers of Jesus Christ, ask questions. And they weren't asking them like, so the person on Boingo Boingo's going to hell, huh? It wasn't that way at all. So what do you say about the people then who never hear about this Jesus Christ that you're saying is the way, the truth, and the life? That's how they were talking. Now, that doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't even mean they're closer to being saved. But it does mean, I think now, to me, we are seeing enough evidence that we might be having a cultural moment because secularism has shot itself in the foot. And we're seeing people go, you got any answers? You got any solutions to this? I have served as a chaplain at Harvard for 25 years, quoting a Harvard chaplain named Tammy McLeod. I've served at Harvard for 25 years as a chaplain, and the interest in and openness to religion and spirituality has never been higher on campus. Demographers, psychologists, sociologists, statisticians offer the same explanations. Americans simply haven't found a satisfying alternative to religion.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work? It's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together, faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Didn't need the pandemic to tell us this. This is Wretched Radio. Shockingly, the New York Times really well-written article by a former Mormon who's talking about the God-shaped hole in her heart, which actually exists. Problem was, we evangelicals, we turn that into the gospel. If you got that hole and you recognize that Jesus will fill it, that's not the gospel. It's an effect of the gospel. But the reality is, Pascal was right. And same, by the way, Augustine was right. Florida. Well, Florida could be right about this too. We are built to know and worship God. We didn't need the pandemic to reveal, wow, we feel kind of lonely on the inside. Of course we do. When you are not following God, you're going to be out of sorts. And interestingly, whether these demographers, these different surveyors, the Barnas, the Pews, Ryan Berge, all of these people that are discovering that people are feeling the effects of not worshiping God, they actually, even people who don't follow Jesus Christ, feel the effects of following small g God, because that's at least they're kind of, I don't want to say in the ballpark in a salvific way, but at least they're like sort of in the game. And it's helpful to the New York Times article. Actively religious people tend to report they are happier than people who don't practice religion. Religious Americans are healthier too, significantly less likely to be depressed or to die by suicide, alcoholism, cancer. Wow, that's interesting. Cardiovascular illness or other causes. In a long-term study, doctors at Harvard found that women who attended religious services once a week were 33% less likely to die prematurely than women who never attended. Well, Harvard got that right. Their hiring practices are a bit of a problem. Wow, did you see that? Mancilla, they're actual. This is how you hire people. You need to ask them about their ethnicity, their sexuality, and their gender. Those are the criteria that get used when it comes to hiring at Harvard. It unless something like groundbreaking is revealed, it's clear they have quotas. This is DEI and CRT all in action at Harvard. Religiously affiliated Americans are more likely to feel gratitude, spiritual peace, and a deep sense of connection with humanity. Wow, we could use that, couldn't we? Oh, was having a was that Laura? I think. Yeah, we were in the lobby at church after my topical sermon on Sunday. And we were talking about, she was saying they went out to a restaurant and it wasn't a fast food kind of place, especially in California. I think you're seeing a proliferation of the stands where you come in to the McDonald's because the wages are so high per hour. They've replaced them with computers. So you have to place your own order. So she was saying they went to a restaurant, I believe in Chicago, and it was a better restaurant. And they had to do that at a good, like at more of a sit down kind of slightly more formal kind of place. They had to place their order, pick up their order, carry their order to the table. And while they were paying for their order, they were asked for a tip. Oh, man. That just... And she was commenting on how it's just another way that we are forsaking community, that we just don't talk and interact. And that has been the lament of a lot of people who are observant for centuries now, that our interaction with other human beings continues to be compromised. It's lessened in our transactions. I don't really need to interact with you. I don't need to haggle with you. I'll give you a chicken if you give me that wheelbarrow. No, okay. I'll put some nice topsoil in the wheelbarrow, and I'll give you two chicken. That's like an interaction. Now we just do transactions very quickly, and it is another advancement that has compromised human flourishing. I even saw Bill Maher talk about this when he was talking about the trucks and the automated trucks that they can steer themselves. We've got to ask ourselves the question, what does technology do to human flourishing and interaction? We see less and less of that these days. And guess what? People are out of sorts when they don't have it. Why? Secularists can't explain it, but the Bible can. We're meant to be in community. Why? Because our God, whose image we bear, is in community with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so people with any connection to religion feel more connected to humanity, and that is a good thing. Positive relationships are the single most important predictor of well-being. That's a long-term study about happiness in the world. The data shows people without religion are faring worse than those who practice one. Once again, I would say to you, if you're young, you want to live longer? Have Christian friends. Have friends that share the value of Jesus Christ. That's the biggie. Not your rugby pal. That's something you've got in common. And this is something that you're going to learn. You're going to learn that when you go to work, you're going to have a lot of acquaintances. But outside of that work contact, you're not going to talk to most people there because you've got something very not powerful that keeps you together. You go to work to get a paycheck, and that's what forms your community. But as soon as that work, somebody gets a different job, you probably aren't going to hear from them again. Why? Because you just didn't have much in common. When you have a Christian friend, you're going to have that in common forever, no matter what you're doing for a living, no matter where they transfer. Having Christian friends is good for you. Now, from the article in the New York Times, I decided to call Richard Dawkins because she had been talked out of her religion by Richard Dawkins. I wanted to know what he made of the fact that America's secularization has stagnated. So this is her conversation with Richard Dawkins. For ethics, he encouraged people, you don't have to go to God, don't have to get involved in religion. This was the advice from one of the greatest thinkers of our time. Take civics classes and host a weekly discussion club. For community, play golf. Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Dawkins. It ain't cutting it. He said he understood that churches in particular could provide moral instruction. He said he valued the ethical teachings of Jesus as a man. Well, that's not sufficient. And by the way, Richard Dawkins clearly has not studied the ethical teachings of Jesus. When people say that, like anybody says that, I'm like, you really don't get it. And even if you're Jordan Peterson, you probably read the New Testament more than Richard Dawkins has. He just doesn't get it. He's got a veil. Because the ethical teachings of Jesus, it's not like help little old ladies across the street. Always bring a dish to pass at Thanksgiving. Speak nice words about people. Now, then, those may or may not be in there, but Jesus' moral teachings are die to yourself. You're living a life in rebellion to God. Repent and put your trust in me. Die to self. Live for me. See yourself as a totally depraved sinner in need of salvation. Repent and trust. I'll give it to you. Those are the moral and ethical teachings of Jesus. Die to self. Put others before yourself. Richard Dawkins doesn't want to do it. Richard Dawkins has himself in first place all the time. He insisted people should be able to fulfill their spiritual desires outside of faith. Quote, It should be quite easy to show documentary films, David Attenborough films, Carl Sagan films, Neil deGrasse Tyson films. I wonder why people are committing suicide. There are lots of substitutes to spirituality that those can provide. No, they can't. And then comes the conclusion to this article, which I think I appreciate the honesty from this woman. She's a good writer. I appreciate the New York Times putting this in there. I recognize, though, my spiritual longings persist no matter what she does to try to feel connected. When you're disconnected from God, you are untethered. Back to the article. And it hasn't been sealed by secularism. I want a God. Small g. I live an ocean away from that small Arkansas chapel, but I still remember the bliss of finding the sublime in the mundane. I still want it all to be true. Miracles, souls, some sort of cosmic alchemy that makes sense of the chaos. It's because it's written in the human heart. For years, she wrote, I haven't been able to say that publicly, but it feels like something is changing. Now, I don't know which change she means, but I think she means the culture, that maybe the culture is shifting, she writes, that maybe we're starting to recognize it's possible to be both believing and discerning after all. Well, I'm not going to pick a nit with that, because the exclamation point is there ain't no replacement for God. And right now, culturally, your coworkers, you don't even have to go to university, your coworkers, they are sensing this ain't working, because it's not. And we've got the truth. Now, we don't want to turn God into the fulfillment center. Hey, you won't feel lonely. You won't feel blue. Now, those are benefits, but that ain't the gospel. The gospel is judicial. Forgiveness of sins in Christ only. You get yourself in alignment with the true and living God, and you have no idea what an abundant life is. They seem to be waiting for you to share. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.